content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in, that's your problem.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spiritually Raw, and thank you for joining us in this great awakening movement to wake up as many people worldwide and help them on their path to spiritual freedom and global peace. And you know what? We got Jeff Dawson back again, which I'm sure a lot of you remember from the last show. He's got a new book out, so we're pretty excited to hear about what that looks like, and he's also going to share with us some current events, so back to that in just a moment. Yep.
But first, we really want to thank everyone and let everyone know how much we appreciate all of your support on YouTube and Patreon, and we appreciate everyone every time you share, comment, and subscribe to the channel, because you know what? It makes all of the difference. It helps our channel grow, and it also supports our guests, and it's because of your support that we can continually bring on great content with amazing guests.
Thank you very much. That's great. Anyway, before we bring on Jeff, you know, I want to read some comments from the show. Okay. So we got some pretty cool stuff here. This is from the Nasara Jassara show. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
So
is it the one with Pimpy and Santa surfing, or just the one with Santa surfing?
I think it was the one with just Pimpy here. Okay. So we got here from Terry. He said, it would be really great if all vets got relief from this as well. My dad has a very large mortgage and he would be thrilled.
Well, so, hang in there, because it is happening. We know many people that it's already happened to. Pimpy was here on the show. He is a live example of Nasara and Jassara is happening. He had $150,000 wiped off his debt. So just hang in there. It's happening.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can come up with this one. So this was on Gene DeCode's show. Okay. And this is from Brandon Michael Drew. Dumb on Tom Hanks being dead.
You know, listen, here's all I can say. We had a lot of feedback on Gene's show. There was a lot of, we appreciate all of the feedback. Is Tom Hanks dead? I don't know. All I can say is, according to Gene DeCode,
you think he is dead, though, don't you?
The possibility, there's many possibilities. Could he be dead? Yes, obviously. Could he be off on an island in Tahiti somewhere with the rest of them? Absolutely. That option is, you know, it's all up for interpretation. All those options are on the table. But that is what Gene said, according to his information and his contacts. So it's really up to you guys what you think.
Take what you want and throw the rest away, right?
Absolutely.
So on another happy note here, we have from Hillis Pugh, and he says, this is one of my favorite interviews from this duo, I think meaning me and you. So thank you, Hillis. Very insightful of this happening and to come. And that was on the Gene DeCode show also. So thank you very much. Sure. So you know what?
Like I said, there were a lot of variations of comments on that show. We appreciate all of them.
All of them we do. Yep. And we will read as many as we can on the show. So let's talk about Jeff, huh?
Absolutely. Well, Jeff Dawson, he spent 25 years in the wonderful world of road construction, but he had back surgery in 2010, and that put the skids on Jeff's career. Jeff has a unique perspective on life with eye-opening revelations. Jeff is the author of Why Did Everything Happen? And his latest book, The Cauldron. Welcome, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you all today?
Good. So how's things in your world? How's everything going with all this virus stuff with you, brother?
Oh, it's just utter insanity is what it is. I got in a debate last night on, you know, people, are you going to wear a mask? Are you not going to wear a mask? Are you going to live in a bubble? Are you not going to live in a bubble? So this gal put up a meme, and it was really simple. I see a lot of people being like, I would survive the coronavirus. I'm taking my chance. The way I see it, yeah, I'd survive it, but I might carry it to someone who wouldn't, and the folks. And that, folks, is the problem. Okay, that was the meme. Pretty innocuous, right? And my response is, that is the case with any infectious disease. Will you bunker down when the next round of flu or RSV strikes? That's all I said. And the pitchforks and the knives came out like I have never seen in my life. This one gal, I've been in the medical field 25 years, and I'm afraid of nothing for me. If I get it, so be it. But if I don't, if others get it, pompous asswads like you, your rights to be free, to be the short-sighted waste of air that you are. What the hell is this all about?
What is it about? It's, okay, so let's go there for a minute. What, from your opinion, what do you think it's all about?
I have no clue. I make a very simple statement, and there I could have filled up pages with this stuff. And I mean, these gals want me to get it. They want me to die. I told them, you know, I've taken care of. Her last one was, maybe you will catch it and bring a total waste of life to an end. What the fuck is that? I just about lost my shit when that happened. I said, really? You know, so my best response to them was, there's duct tape in aisle 5 at Home Depot, and Petco is having a muzzle sale, so just shut the hell up.
So, and, a new friend there, looks like, right?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be swapping Christmas cards real soon. I can see that. It's, and what got me is they said there were Republicans. Well, this is showing it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. If you're going to live in fear and be scared to death all the time, then just stay inside and leave me the hell alone.
So what are you saying? No mask for you, Jeff?
I've got one if I have to wear it. But I went to my chiropractor the other day, and I said, what's the protocol? And they said, it's up to you. I said, okay, well, then I choose not to wear it. I've visited my kids. They're not wearing them, and I'm sure people will lose their mind. Oh, you're all going to die. Well, you know, if you look at the stats, and I've been tracking this since it started, just 5 states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, California and Washington, 601,000 cases. That is 47% of the cases in the United States, and it accounts for 71% of the death toll. And we are shutting down 45 states off of 5. What the hell is that?
All right, so let me ask you, when you see it where you're at, and I understand that things are starting to open up a bit now, but from when you see it from your state where you're at, do you see things starting to open up, or are you guys still on shutdown?
No, it's opening up, and the best gauge here is Quick Trip. There's one right across the street, and we have kind of watched the parking lot. And yeah, when it started, it was a ghost town because everybody's like, okay, this is deadly. If you catch it and you have a compromised immune system, you could very well be in trouble. But then as the weeks progressed, you could notice it. It went from like 5% full to 20 to 30. And then when the restrictions were starting to be lifted, Quick Trip, the parking lot started filling up, and they started carrying their donuts again. That was done. They did not carry donuts for 6 weeks.
Well,
I'm serious. But yesterday, it was like a revelation that, my God, Quick Trip has got their donuts back in the store. Okay, well, so yeah, things are loosening up, and you can tell by the traffic report that now there's starting to be more accidents, and I don't know what the hell these we're doing in lockdown, but they sure the hell can't drive. Now, I thought it was bad before. It is utter insanity. It's like, did y'all lose your driver's license?
Yeah, they probably just didn't have the practice. So what's it like now for you as a business person? Because you're a business person out there too. How is that? Are you seeing that affecting, I know it's affecting a lot of the business, but how is it affecting your business?
Since construction was classified as an essential business, it has not slowed down any of the projects. They've had to make a few adjustments on the commercial jobs because, I mean, you've got 40 to 60 subs depending on the size of the project, and there's no way you're going to be able to stay 6 feet away. So they've had to stagger some of the subs and monitor the amount of people. But in overall, we still got to get the roads built. The buildings have to go up. Now, the bidding, as far as new jobs being released, that has definitely slowed down. But as far as getting paid and going to work every day, it's business as normal.
All right, So what do you think? I mean, the bottom line, man-made, not man-made. Depopulation effort, not depopulation effort.
Okay. What's the current population of the world? 7.8 billion? Isn't that's that the number? 7.9?
Give or take a couple, right?
Yeah.
So let's see. It was 1.2 billion during 1918 and 1919 during the Spanish influenza. So in 100 years, the population has exploded 6.6 billion people. And we know China and India are the two biggest. So if you make a man-made virus and you have no vaccine, well, that'd be like dropping a nuclear bomb on Washington, hoping it hits Moscow. Well, that ain't gonna work. So if you make it man-made, what? Or I've heard the conspiracy theories and all. What, are all these people gonna live underground? Like, you know, that movie, what was it? Deep Impact, where they built these bunkers because the asteroid's going to destroy the world and blah, blah, blah. It's a virus. I mean, look at 08 and 09. Was the swine flu engineered? 40 million Americans got the swine flu. And right now, what is it? 1.2 million. Now, is that population control? Tell me.
Well, when you look at it from that perspective with the numbers, it certainly doesn't seem like it. What it does seem like, though, and I don't think this is hard to deny, they're doing it to push a vaccine down your throat, or I shouldn't say down your throat, literally to inject into your bloodstream.
Do you think so, Jeff? Do you think that they're doing this to do some sort of vaccine?
No. I know that's what's going out there, and, you know, Bill Gates is the big target because he's taking all of his money, invest $10 billion in vaccines. And so now we're hearing about Gates and Soros and this, that, and the other. And that the pharmaceuticals are making all this money. How are the pharmaceuticals making money on a vaccine that hasn't been developed and isn't being sold? But how do you make money off of that?
But the question is, what makes you think or believe that it has not already been developed?
Well, I can't answer that because I don't know. I don't work in the labs. Is it possible that one has been developed? Okay. What the hell? No.
Tell him you're on the most important interview ever.
Just throw it on the bed. There it is. Okay. Let's hypothesize. One has been developed. Well, if it's been developed, then it should be being used, correct? By the theories, then we should have all these stations that says you've got to get a microchip and you got to get the vaccine. Yes or no?
Well, they are pushing in that direction.
They're pushing it. But yes. This is, I look at America this way. When it came to smallpox, tuberculosis, typhoos, whooping cough, polio, those were known killers. And yes, we got vaccines for that. I've still got the scar from the MMR when I was 12 years old. Measles, mumps, and rubella.
Mm-hmm.
Those are killers. Now, we didn't fight those. Now, this one, because of the publicity, Americans are going to fight this and say, absolutely not. Because we weren't forced to get the H1N1. It was a choice, right?
The H1N1 was a choice, yeah.
Was a choice. And this one, when Americans are told you're going to do this, normal response.
You're not going to do it. You're going to fight
exactly.
back. Yeah.
Exactly.
So well, doesn't that wave a red flag when someone or the government say you have to do this or you have to do that, especially when it's coming, you know, injecting toxins? Lethal toxins into your bloodstream. Doesn't that seem a
little? Well, we're seeing that right now. But if you wanted to, okay, if you wanted to depopulate the world, which countries would you want to target? Do you want to target
India,
the United
China.
States?
Hey, easy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
India
true.
And China.
Yeah.
If you target the, let's say, because I heard the theory, if you target the United States, okay. Let's depopulate the United States, say 150 million.
Okay, well, but maybe not depopulating because from the numbers, I get you there. But what I'm saying is, though, that they're possibly trying to force a vaccine down your throat or literally inject it into your own bloodstream.
You still think that they're actually trying to force it?
Well, they're making it, they're moving it in that direction, Jay. So it's, I'm just going by, you know, yeah. That, if you were to ask me, do I think that? Yes, it certainly does seem that on the surface. Yes, it seems exactly like that.
Like you're trying to say like it's like Mark of the Beast kind of stuff?
I didn't say it was Mark of the Beast, but what I am saying.
I mean,
I never said.
You see this, Jeff?
I never.
You see?
I never said that.
Okay. But yeah, there are two sides of the coins. But Americans, if we are told, you're seeing it right now. You're seeing it in Michigan. You're seeing it in California, to a small degree in New York, and some in Illinois, definitely in Texas where I live. Tell me I have to do something and I don't agree with it. And my answer is no. You know, you've all seen Shelley Luther.
Was that
the gal who... that's the hairdresser.
Oh, the hairdresser. Yeah. So I saw her this morning.
Mm-hmm. One gal stood up and said no. And of course, Judge Jenkins, he's just a flaming Democrat and he needs to be voted out. But I live in a Democratic county, so we'll see what happens in November. But look at our history as a country. It doesn't take a huge gathering of people. It's just a couple to get the movement started. Look at the founding fathers. Hell, when they, you know, you want to talk about putting your life at risk because everyone's talking about the virus and, oh, you're putting yourself at risk. These people put their lives, their families' lives, their livelihoods on the line. By God, if they don't beat Great Britain in the revolution, we know what their sentence was going to be, don't we?
Yeah.
Death.
Yep.
Death. Mm-hmm. That's it. We're taking all your property. We're going to throw your family on the street. We'll probably imprison them the rest of your lives. And you all are going to be hung public square for everyone to see. Don't stand against the crown. Well, we won. And this is, to me, a good parallel. We're starting to see how the Constitution, how the framers put it together and how it's working. And it's working just the way they set it up. And that's just amazing. You know, this document that's 200 years old, and this is its biggest test since its inception. So you're finding out who wants power, who doesn't, and who wants to pursue life, liberty, and happiness.
Yeah.
Jeff, hold on for 1 second. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right.
That's cool. Yeah.
Welcome to the world of Jeff Dawson, 35-year road construction veteran to a multi-genre author whose books range from a true love story of his soulmate to a historical perspective of vampires versus the Third Reich. Jeff's unique perspective on life and the way he dealt with the back-to-back tragedies will amaze you with eye-opening revelations. Lose yourself in Jeff's books, such as A Terror at the Sterling, Love's True Second Chance, and Final Delivery, and so much more. Visit Amazon.com and get copies of Jeff Dawson's books today. Jeff's books also make great gifts and great stocking stuffers.
All right, everybody, thank you very much, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. We are with Mr. Jeff Dawson. Remember, if you like this video and all the other ones we got out there, just give us a thumbs up, like, and make sure you subscribe and share. So, Jeff, I would also like to get your opinion on what's going on here with everything. You know, we talked about the mask. We talked about the lady in Texas who kind of, you know, was the, you know, set the charge here. But you personally, do you think, you know, should it have been a state-by-state decision, or do you think that it was good that universally in the United States that we shut down?
I thought it was a horrible decision.
You do. Do tell, now, my friend.
New York, yes. Let's go back to the influenza of 18 and 19. Philadelphia was the hardest hit. They lost 44,000 people, and you can study the history of it. Philadelphia shut down. They knew, I mean, after their parade in, what was it, I think September of 18 for the Liberty Bonds, the health department told them not to do it. They still had the parade, 200,000 people attended, and then it just exploded. But across the country, Woodrow Wilson did not shut down the United States. Granted, his health was bad, and his wife was running the country, but it was a state by state, by county, by city. Because Dallas, they had two waves of it. They shut down once, and then they reopened, and 500 people died from it. But it wasn't this nationwide, we're shutting everything down. Obviously, the population was a lot smaller, and I think it was like 120, maybe 100 million in that era. But it was the states, the counties, the cities made the decisions, not the federal government. No country shut down during this. So the longer we stay shut down, what does that do to the economy? And since we are the world's largest consumer of it, for, you know, some people said, oh, we should be shut down for 6 to 8 months. There'll be nothing left. Mm-hmm. It won't be the U.S. that collapses. It's going to be the world that collapses. And all you got to do is go back to the end of World War One, to the beginning of World War II, when Germany not only lost the war, had to pay reparations to the French and the British, the stock market crash. And if you study Germany, how it was horrible, absolutely horrible what was going on there. Now let's just put that scenario across the entire globe. You want to talk about civil unrest? You want to talk about riots? It's, yeah. I know that's a little exaggeration, but no.
That's where we were headed, though.
The entire country. Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
Yeah, because you started to see that there.
Suicide rates would go through the roof. It's just mental health. Oh, good Lord.
Do you think it was shut down just as a bad decision? Do you think there was a specific from your part? Don't hold back now. Any type of political party or political decision to say, let's shut this to either A, make someone look like the hero, or make them look like a zero from whatever capacity.
No, not on the initial shutdown. I'm not convinced that it was politically motivated. It was because the WHO got caught with their pants down. Nobody knew. There was too much misinformation going out. Nobody knew what to do with it. And then as it started spreading, of course, it just ravaged northern Italy. Then it went to Spain. Now everyone's starting to get concerned about it. It didn't become political until, what, 3 weeks ago, depending on which network you want to watch, or 4 weeks ago. Everyone started assigning blame. How the hell can you assign blame when you still don't understand the virus? I look at it like the Battle of the Bulge. Americans were convinced World War II would end in 1944 and Germany couldn't launch a counteroffensive. And by God, on December 16th, they proved everybody wrong. And they put together an army of 300,000 and just damn near broke through the Allied lines, which we won't get into that. But nobody panicked. I mean, initially, yes, they had to figure out what's going on. They analyzed the situation. Obviously, Eisenhower, Hodges, Bradley, Montgomery, Patton, they're all involved in this. But they did it calmly, coolly, collectively, intelligently. This was not done with any of those parameters. They just said, shut it down. Why? Well, we don't know, but we're going to shut it down because if you remember Andrew Cuomo, some of his interviews, he swore that half of New York State was going to be infected and they were going to need 30,000 ventilators. And
how many did they end up needing out of all that?
I don't know the exact number, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to say maybe 5,000, 6,000.
Yeah, so just maybe a little over 10% of that.
You know, they did get ravaged, and that's what needs to be investigated. Why was New York hit so damn hard? I mean, because, you know, what, that state alone has...
Yeah, you got to have a thought on that, Jeff. I mean, so what is that thought that's running through that head? Why was New York so ravaged? I mean, what's your thoughts?
That question needs... I don't have the answer to that. And that is what needs to really be looked at, because it started in, I believe the first case was in Tacoma, Washington at the retirement home. And it went right through that retirement home. Then the next case was in Northern California, and then it got real quiet. And then overnight, it was like a nuclear bomb went off in New York City. I don't know the answer to that. And it's not an investigation to find out who was at fault. because this will just muddy the water. Why and how did it hit this city so hard, so fast, just like it did in, at least in 19, 18, and 19? They knew why it hit Philadelphia so hard. But why New York? How did it just suddenly come across the coast? Yeah, there were still international flights coming out of Europe, but the way it exploded in New York City, that was just absolutely devastating. And no one in their right mind, de Blasio, Cuomo, any of them, could foresee what the hell was about to be unleashed on their city. And then now you're scrambling. And instead of really trying to analyze it, there were too many, in my opinion, there were too many knee-jerk reactions. I mean, like I said, the death toll, hell, 150 million Americans were supposed to get this by the original estimates when New York started nuking out. So a lot of bad information, right or wrong, because it's a novel virus that they really didn't know anything about. And if it was, as April said earlier, engineered, well, it's only hit 1.2 million of us. I know people are going to say, well, they haven't done all this testing. Mm-hmm. They haven't done all this testing. Well, they don't have a foolproof test. They keep, I mean, they're still devising one.
What about this theory?
That's effective and fast.
So maybe they weren't trying to knock everybody off, but what about this theory? Maybe they're trying to knock Trump off because we're so close to the election. And they figured, you know what? The economy was booming. Even the biggest Democrat supporter could not deny the economy was booming.
They're denying it all day long. It was
complete. No, that the economy was booming. Everyone would admit the economy was booming. And this has definitely put a damper on the economy.
Okay.
So what about that theory?
Then let me ask you this question. Then why not just target the United States and not go after Italy and Spain?
Well, would it have to do because he's presumably the world leader kind of thing? And, you know, whatever the United States does or that, you know, it's just a presumed king of the world?
Well, kind of thing. I worked with a guy and I came when I was first got in construction and I walked into his office and we were discussing a project and I said, well, I assumed, and he looked at me and he said, son, assume in one hand, shit in the other and see which one fills up faster. And I said, okay, point taken. I'm leaving. You said all I need to know. Never. So making an assumption. Yeah. You can throw the theories around, but is there, we've been hearing about the Rothschilds for how many decades and the Rockefellers and the Illuminati, you know, okay, so what's the end game? So you control the world and do what with it?
Whatever they want, I guess in their minds, but, it's whatever they want.
So let's say that...
To make everybody slaves, really.
Okay, and let's say that's the case. Well, in history, how did slavery work out for Egypt, for Persia, the United States?
Not real well for anyone.
Pretty much. So if you want to piss off 7 billion people, be my guest and see what happens to you. You'll be hanging in the square in Washington, D.C., Dallas, Texas, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Berlin. It's like, yeah, you tried. And you failed. I mean, the last person we saw do that was Adolf Hitler, and that didn't work out well for him.
Well, let's hope you're right, too.
Let's hope you're right. Hey, that is Jeff Dawson, everybody, our new favorite conspiracy non-theorist, it seems like, right? So, Jeff Dawson,
Jeff, non-conspiracy theorist
with a new book. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about the new book, Cauldron.
It's called The Cauldron. It's the third book in the World War II Vampire versus the Third Reich series. This one centers around Stalingrad because in the history books, that's what it's called, the Cauldron. So without getting into real specifics, you have vampire clans and they have been fractured because they've been fighting. People have been thrown out. People have had some nasty little children. The Germans have genetically modified a soldier based on vampiric blood. He's going to Stalingrad. So everybody's going to meet there, and they're just going to have a really nice party. No, not really. You know, a million people died in Stalingrad. So they're all meeting. The vampire clans are learning technology. They're learning how to operate tanks. And obviously, this was the first major defeat the Germans suffered in World War II.
Right on. Sounds like a good book. So, Jeff, where can everybody buy it?
Amazon.
It is not released yet. We'll be
soon
on
to be Amazon.
Soon to be Amazon. We're editing it right now. I'm looking for the end of the week, but yeah, it'll be Amazon. Jeff Dawson, Amazon.com.
Jeff Dawson at Amazon.com. All right, everybody. Jeff, thanks for being on the air with us.
Thank
it was a good
you.
Time.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
as
definitely.
Always.
Definitely want to have you on again here. I want to thank you all for joining in. It's been a great time for us. And thank you again for our good friend Jeff Dawson. Check him out and get that new book. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.